Good morning. It's great to be here today. Express our love to each other and to God. Amen. What a wonderful day to worship and be filled with His truths. Thank you, Kirkland. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for the men that led our prayers this morning. Now we want to look at 2 Corinthians again. We're talking in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. This section is controlled by the verb having. He says we're having this ministry in verse 1. As we obtain mercy, we faint not. He ends that section by telling us how glorious is that ministry. In verse 6, he says, "See, it is God who said, a light shall shine forth out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." The glory of the ministry we have is unbelievable. But verse 7 starts with the word, "but." But we have this ministry in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of man. Then he goes on to tell about all the things that we suffer for that ministry. So when he gets to 13, he will say again, but even with all this persecution, with all of our problems and our pressures, and all of our perplexity and being persecuted and smitten down, but we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore I spake. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he that raised the Lord Jesus shall raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace may be multiplied to the many and cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. Wherefore we faint not. Though our outward man is decaying, yet is our inward man being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Having is this principle we're talking about. Here he's talking about having the same spirit of faith. He quotes in that verse Psalms 116, verse 10. Getting behind there. 116 verse 10, because Paul is having the same conditions that David had when he wrote the Psalms. Paul says, as in before, in the section before, he says in verse 8, we are pressed on every side but not straitened. We're perplexed but not into despair. We're pursued but not forsaken. We're smitten down but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. For we who are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. He's talking about being perplexed. He's talking about being pressed. He's talking about all the persecution that comes when you preach that ministry that he received. He says we have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. A lot of people have faith, but they don't have the spirit of faith. It's kind of like James 2, 14 through 26, where he mentions four times that he says, faith without works is dead. That's James speaking. Paul says, there is faith that doesn't have the spirit of faith. Therefore, it doesn't speak. That faith is like James says, without works, it's dead. But we have that spirit of faith, he said. David's circumstances is the same. In Psalms 116, verse 3, says, the cords of death compass me. The pains of Sheol got hold of me. I found sorrow. David was having the same problems Paul's talking about. He even says in the verse that he quotes here in 2 Corinthians, David says, I believe I'll speak. I was greatly afflicted. He talks about great afflictions that he has. Just like Paul in this passage. So that Paul says the same things. But what was David's response to all this? David talks about the cords of death. He talks about the pains of Sheol. He has trouble and sorrows. He said he was greatly afflicted. And what was David's response in verses 12 through 14 in Psalms 116? He says, what shall I render unto Jehovah for the benefits that he gave me? What will I render unto him? He speaks of all of God's benefits after all these problems he has. But they're God's benefits. He says, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of Jehovah. I'll pay my vows unto Jehovah. Yea, in the presence of all the people. Even in all of this, the problems that he has, the fact that he has cords of death about him, his pains of Sheol, the things that he's found, trouble and sorrows, being afflicted. He says in all that, he says, in the presence of all the people, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll pay my vows unto Jehovah. David says, and determined to tell everybody about the salvation he received in Jehovah. That's exactly what Paul's talking about in chapter 4, verse 13, of the passage that we're talking about. Need to get my notes higher up. Paul, just like David, has gone through all these afflictions, but he says he has the spirit of faith, therefore he speaks, because Paul's life is speaking. That's his life. Philippians 1:21, which we mention often. For me to live is Christ, is what Paul said. His life is for Christ, to tell everybody about the great salvation that Jesus gave him. You can't shut Paul up. He has that spirit of faith. He says, speaking of God's mercy, he talks about where he was and where when Jesus brought him to. 1 Timothy 1. In about verse 13, he says, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of the Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the same. Worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, I obtain mercy. That is me as chief. Might Christ Jesus show forth all his long suffering to those that hereafter would believe unto eternal life. Paul said he brought me from the condemnation of the fires of hell to the glory of heaven. And how can you not speak? I have the spirit of faith, he said. You've got to speak if you have the spirit of faith. In the Titus letter, in chapter 3, verse 3, he speaks about all the sins they have. Gives a whole list of all of our sins. But in verse 4, he says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love towards all mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness which we did, But according to his own mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. How can you stop speaking? Paul can't stop speaking. Jesus saved him. He says everything that Jesus gave him is far better than anything you can imagine. He says in Philippians 3, after he lists a whole list of things that a Jew would have to brag about, he says in verse 7, howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted lost for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them but refuge, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. The spirit of faith is the dynamic that makes us speak. It's not something that's taught. It's not something we're commanded to do. It is the spirit of faith, and it's a dynamic that works in us that makes us speak in any circumstance. Paul stands in Acts 26. He stands in the trial before the governor of the land, Festus. He stands before the king of the land, Herod Agrippa. And he's there to make his defense. But after he gets through speaking, Festus says, Paul, thou art mad. Thy much learning has made you mad. And what does Paul answer in respect for himself? He says, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak words of truth and sobriety. He says, King Agrippa knows all these things. They're not hidden from him. They weren't done in the corner. Then he addresses the Herod, Agrippa. And he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. Agrippa says, but with little persuasion, wilt thou make me a Christian? And what's Paul's answer? I would to God, whether by little or more, that not only you, but all those that hear me this day would be as I am, except for these bonds. Paul stands before two men who have the right to lift his head off of him. And he's there to make a defense for himself. And he does not make a defense for him. He tells them why he preaches the gospel. And instead of pleading for himself, he pleads for their souls. Before these men, he says, King Agrippa, Festus, with much persuasion or for little persuasion, whatever it takes. He said, I would to God that you be just like I am. Except for these bonds. He didn't plead for himself. He pled for their souls. The spirit of faith moved Paul. No matter what the conditions, you speak for Christ. Peter and John had the same experience. In Acts, after Pentecost, they go through preaching until they draw great crowds. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, was all very jealous. They grab them and bring them into the court. They stand before the Sanhedrin, the same court that has Stephen stoned to death three chapters later. And they command them, you don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And what was their response in verse 19? We're in chapter 4. Whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto men or unto you or unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we heard and saw. Not pleading for their souls. Not pleading for their lives. Their souls are already taken care of. But they speak. Paul says we have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, we speak. I read one place, it said, it's like the tea kettle principle. You take the tea kettle, you put the water in it, you fill it up with water, you set it on the stove and start the fire. And either that tea kettle will whistle or it'll bust. That's what Jeremiah said, huh? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. So if I say I'll not make mention of him or speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm worried with withholding, and I cannot contain. Jeremiah said, if I try to contain, I'll bust. Paul, before any circumstances, he spoke. And they do that because of the statement in verse 14 and verse 15. That's why they have the spirit of faith. That's why, that's where we should get our spirit of faith. He says, knowing. Ah, there's the word. Chapter 5 will be controlled by the verb knowing. But it's introduced right here. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Knowing. If you read that in the English language, you would think that was a present participle. You English majors. Knowing. Continual action. But in the original language, that's a perfect participle. Knowing. What does a perfect participle mean? The perfect participle is the result of a completed past action. Paul says, I stand in the result of having believed. He still believed. He believed the moment he believed when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, which Ross read this morning to us. Since that time, he believed. Since that time, he knew, knowing that he who raised up Jesus will raise us up. By knowing that, nobody can stop us from speaking. If we know we have the resurrection, eternal life with Christ, it doesn't matter what man does. We live. We win. Paul stands with no doubt in his mind. He does that because he knows the resurrection and eternal life are definite. That's the reason Paul says, a while ago I mentioned Philippians 1:21, but I only said half of it. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. What's the second half say? To die is gain. How can you say that? Because you know you're going to a better place. He'll say in verse 23 that he's in a strait between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better, he says. He didn't want to live on this earth. He wanted to go to be with the Lord. He confirms that in the Roman letter in chapter 8, verse 11, where he tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit. Promises of God. Eternal life is ours. We can't be shut up. We need to tell everybody. Get the spirit of faith. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for this cause I suffer these things. Yet I am not ashamed, for I know, there's your word again. Here he knows of the resurrection. There he says, I know him whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've committed to him against that day. Paul has no doubt. Paul knows. He'll end that letter. That's the last letter he writes, 2 Timothy, before he's executed. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, I'm already being offered. Sacrificial language. The day of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is, not maybe, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. Not to me only, but to all those that have loved his appearing. Confidence. Knowing. We know we have salvation. Paul speaks of all the people. When he talks to the Corinthian brethren in the next chapter in 2 Corinthians, verse 7, he'll say, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8 says, we have great courage, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the flesh that we might be home with the Lord. Why does Paul say these things? Paul has seen heaven. The same book, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul goes to heaven. He said he's caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, the heavens of the heavens. And he saw things there which man's language can't even describe. Paul, once he saw that, listen, Paul didn't want to be on this earth. He wanted to be there. He wanted to get out of this life. He wanted to be there. But he says, if you go back to Philippians, after he says he's in straight betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better. In verse 24, he says, yet to remain in the flesh is needful for your sake. So Paul is willing to stay here, which is needful for the brethren's sake, for the purpose of preaching the gospel that they can be saved too. But his desire is to get out of this life, to get on home, to be with the Lord. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. All things are for your sake. What did he say in verse 12? So then death dwelleth in us, but life in you. He says, I do all things for you. When we have the spirit of faith, we'll do all things to save men's souls, to edify men, so that we can all be equipped to serve better. He had the spirit of faith. Therefore, all things are for your sakes. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, I don't know where I'm got to here. He says in Colossians 1, 24, he says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake and fill up on my part that which is lacking in the affliction in Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul said, it's all for you, that souls can be saved. He has the spirit of faith. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:10. He says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. All grace would be multiplied. It means superabounding. That grace may multiply in the many, which brings about or causes thanksgiving to abound into the glory of God. Therefore, we faint not. Verse 16. Therefore, we faint not. Fainting not, discouragement is also a result of faith. Therefore we speak. Therefore we faint not. Same original language. Same word in the original language, which means so or therefore. The word functions as a conjunction in the cause and result relationship. If you believe, you speak. He says, if you really believe the good news, you will speak. If you really believe the good news, you'll never be discouraged. Satan's desire is to shut us up. Satan's working all around us to keep us from speaking. And if he can't keep us from speaking, he will try to discourage us. Because if he gets us discouraged, we quit speaking. How many people have you heard say, I went out and taught this person, I taught this person, I taught this person, and nobody listened to it, nobody wants it, therefore I'm not going to talk anymore. Discouragement is the work of Satan. If you're discouraged, you've given in to Satan. If you believe, you can't be discouraged. If you believe that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise you up and give you eternal life, you can't be discouraged. If you teach 100 people and they all reject, they don't reject you, they reject the Lord. And you should never be discouraged, because whether nobody believes, we have the assurance of eternal life with our Lord. So he says, our outward man is decaying, yet is our inward man being renewed day by day. Notice that first phrase, our outward man is decaying. That first phrase takes place. That's a fact of life. Just look at me. R.A. decaying. It's not like it was 50 years ago, I'll tell you that. That's a fact of life. But the second one is a choice that we make. You're going to die physically. I don't care if you're the newborn baby. You're not going to live very long, 70, 80 years. That's just a second compared to all eternity. Overnight, just let me tell you, young people, you'll blink your eyes and you'll be like me. Old. The flesh is decaying. But the inward man that has the spirit of faith is renewed day by day. Daily renewal. Every day we're seeking to be more like Jesus, praying to be transformed in his image, studying his word, striving to be just like Jesus. Look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, smell like Jesus, act like Jesus, react like Jesus. Renewed day by day. The facts stated in this passage. Man's body fades away, but man's soul should be growing. If you've made that choice, if you have the spirit of faith, you will be growing. Suffering weakens the body, but suffering strengthens the soul. If you walk by faith, years take our physical beauty. I wasn't a bad-looking man 50 years ago, you know. Time will take it. The years take it. But it should increase our spiritual beauty. Thank God he gave me the opportunity to live long enough to change as many things as I have. The physical view is the fact that life ends at the grave. But the spiritual view is the fact that real life begins at the grave. We spend this whole life, whether it's 70, 80 years, whether it's 10 years, whatever we do in this life, we spend it with a view to being able to go and meet the Lord and spend eternity with him in heaven. Our life, our spiritual view, is our life begins at the grave. Years bring us closer to death, but they bring us closer to real life, which is eternal life, which will never die. For our light affliction. You know who said that? Read Paul's light affliction in 2 Corinthians. We don't have time. Now, all of his afflictions, his beatings, his imprisonments, his shipwrecks, his perils, all of that, he says, my light affliction, which is for the moment, just a lifetime, physical lifetime, worketh for me more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. He says in Romans 8:18, I reckon the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed unto us while we look. Not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. Things that are seen, earthly things, he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the vainglory of life, are of the world and not of the Father. And the world passes away with the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Things that are not seen are the things above. if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall be manifest, then shall you also be manifest with him in glory. Eternal glory is what you'll have. We have a ministry. It's a mercy ministry. It brings people from Satan's grasp to the portals of heaven in the arms of our Lord Jesus. We have a treasure, the greatest treasure in the world, God put right in our hands. And we have the spirit of faith, so we speak and tell everybody about it. And we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. We speak, we don't lose heart, because our eyes is beyond fleshly things. Last verse. Beautiful verse. Romans 8. He says, if Christ is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Jesus Christ that died, yea, rather rose from the dead, and is at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish, persecution, peril, famine, sword, or nakedness? As it is written, we're killed all the day long for your sakes. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors in him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you're not in Christ, as Kirkland said this morning, if you're not in Christ, you have nothing. Not being harsh and in love, let me tell you, if you're not in Christ, you have no hope. If your life is out of Christ, make it right. Get that spirit of faith. You'll get your ministry. You'll get a treasure. And you'll speak for our Lord. If you need to come to Jesus, don't put it off. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus. Or whatever your need. We're going to sing a song. Isaac will lead us in a song. And while we're singing, come down and make your request known.